Well, let me invite you to get your Bibles and turn with me to about three passages of Scripture this morning. They're all found in the Old Testament. And while you're turning there, I want to ask you a question. Why is it, since God created us and gave us this world and this life, that we miss life at its absolute best? You look around you and you can see so many individuals and so many lives, and you think, well, what's going on? Why is he missing it? And you think about sometimes your own life and you think, I'm saved by the grace of God. God loves me and there's no doubt about that. Why am I seemingly missing it? And the reality of it is, if a lot of people would be honest with themselves, they're missing the life that God intended for them. Now, I'm not telling you that life is going to be without difficulties, without hardships, without problems. I'm not talking about that. Because the truth about it is, you still can have an abundant life with all of that. But if you will be honest with yourself and really look around you at people who profess to know Jesus Christ, and maybe you're one of them, and you can say, well, you know, if God wants to bless my life, what's the real problem? What is happening? And we've already dealt with a number of issues about this, but this morning I want to deal with one particular. If you'll take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 40 and also chapter 90, and then over in the book of Isaiah, because I want to deal with this morning the key to God's abundance and blessing, developing a heart for God's absolutes. Because there is something that is in you and me, because we're continually changing, and we somehow forget that God is a God of absolutes. I want you to look at these verses of Scripture, and in Psalms chapter 41, verse 13, I want you just, if you don't have your Bible, just listen to it. But if you have your Bible, turn there. Listen to what the Lord God says. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Now Psalms chapter 90, verse 12, or verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now listen to the last part of that. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And then if you'll look in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah 40, verse 8. One verse, a powerful verse, and you need to get this verse in your mind because you need to sink these verses. You don't just need to listen to them. You need to get them in your mind. Listen to what it says. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand how long? Forever. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now, we live in an ever-changing world. We live in a world that's constantly changing. We change styles, we change cultures, we change hairstyles and all that. But if there is something that is going to happen in your life and my life that is going to position us for God's abundance and God's blessings, there has to be the developing of a heart for God's absolutes. Now, let me just paint a little picture before I get into the principles, before I get into God's nature this morning and deal with this. Just consider the world that you and I live in. You know, maybe you've heard somebody say recently, well, I know homosexuality used to be a sin, but, you know, it's just an alternate lifestyle today. Well, I know pornography years ago used to be a sin and is real bad, but, you know, I mean, there's just so many pages out there and so many people are doing it. And one of the answers of why so many individuals are missing God's abundance and his blessings is this. There is a radical dwindling away of a belief in absolutes. You talk to somebody today and they'll say, well, you know, it's really relative. You know, what I want to believe, that's my business. If you want to believe it another way, that's your business. But, you know, my belief is my business. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully because this is not a message on opinions. This is a message based on the very word of God, based on the very nature that he is an unchanging, all-loving, all-caring God, and a God who yearns more than you can dare imagine, comprehend, or believe to bless your life with his abundance and his blessing. As a matter of fact, you go through the Bible and you find that God wanted to give abundance. God put Adam and Eve in paradise because he had to. Think about a minute. God has to give the best. That is the overflow of his nature. He can't give anything else. And God led the children of Israel to the promised what? Land. In other words, it was a land of abundance. It was flowing with milk and honey because that's the nature of God. And so God made it abundantly clear that there's something that is essential for you and me to enjoy his abundance and his blessing. And one of the things that's happening in our day and time is there's this radical reality taking place that people are forgetting God. Now, they may not want to say it, but I want you to listen to a verse in the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think God would have said, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, if there wasn't the possibility to forget? One of the realities in the day and time that you and I are living is this. A lot of people are having this relative belief. I can believe it if I want to. I don't have to believe it if I want to. As a matter of fact, forgetting is just the reality of what's happening today. People are forgetting that there is a God in heaven. Now, they may be choosing to forget, ignoring, or whatever, but, you know, that doesn't change the truth of holy God. As a matter of fact, you know, some people believe, and that's why evolution is becoming so popular. You know why evolution is becoming so popular? Listen carefully. It's not because of science. Science has really nothing to do with evolution. Number one, you cannot prove evolution. It is completely disprovable. There is no way. The law of non-contradiction says this. Either there is evolution or there is creation. There can't be both. And the greatest scientists in the world back in the early 1900s, they believed that this world was no older than 6,000 years. But let me tell you why evolution has become so popular. If I can have a belief that some force created me, that I just came into existence, then I don't have an accountability to someone. I can do to my life, with my life, whatever I want, whatever feels good, I can do it. And here's the problem with that. That is just a lie straight out of hell. Because listen to what the Bible says. In Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So here's what I'm saying. God made it clear to man that he is created. And yet, mankind is slowly, somehow forgetting, ignoring, choosing to turn away. And so one of the things that's happening in our culture is this. Man is becoming like Adam was in the garden. He's becoming like a god to himself. That's why a lot of times we'll say, well, I believe. Listen to me real carefully. Your belief, if it's not grounded in the Word of God and 25 cents, won't even get you a cup of coffee. Because beliefs are nothing if they're not grounded in the Word of God. Amen? Listen, God makes it very clear that we are not a God in ourselves. But here's what's happening in our culture. Everybody is becoming a God to themselves. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 3:5, God said, for God said that, note that in the day that you eat thereof, this is what Satan is saying, your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. In other words, Satan is saying to Adam and to Eve, and he says to you and me, don't worry about absolutes. Don't worry about there being absolutes. You do what is right. If you don't believe that it's right, go ahead and do it. If it's okay, if pornography is okay to you, go ahead. If it's okay to do this and to do that, you know, you have your right to your opinion. Now, I want you to listen very carefully, because this morning I'm going to share with you as simply, but yet as seriously as I can, how God will bless you once you understand his nature is an absolute nature. You see, here is the God of all creation, and God is an unchanging God. Amen? How many of you think that God can change one iota? Don't raise your hand. But the Bible says our God is an unchanging God. In other words, there is no shadow of turning in with God. He can't change. It's not that God won't change. It's not that God maybe will change. But listen to me very carefully. It is within the nature of God an impossibility to change. God says about himself, I change not. And here's what's happening. So many individuals are believing that, if I want to do it, if I want to believe it, you know, I can do it and I can believe it. But, you know, the reality of it is we're bombarded with all sorts of people who have left this belief of absolutes. And what you watch on TV is wrong behavior is glamorized. You know, you just watch a little bit. You know, wrong behavior is televised, it's glamorized, it's publicized. And here is my point. There is the same equation that if I have a money, if I have notoriety, if I have popularity, I am living an abundant life. I can tell you by people I've talked to that have sources and resources and stuff that that is not the definition of abundant life. Jesus didn't say, I will come and give you money and you'll have abundant life because of money. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus made it very clear, I came that you could have life and have life abundantly. In other words, if I am going to have the life of abundance and the life of blessing, then there are some things that I really need to be serious and I need to ask myself. So I want you to follow along in your outline. I want you to look at number two. Let me answer a question, because you may be saying, well, what are absolutes? Absolutes are those things that never change. Space, time, generations, cultures never change them. Absolutes will be the same today. They'll be the same 5,000 years from now. They'll be the same 10,000 years from now, and I'll explain why in just a moment. But that's what an absolute is. An absolute is something that is unchangeable, because an absolute stems from the heart of God. And so, you know, here's what you and I need to understand. If I'm going to have the blessings of God, then I need to get down to the reality, and I need to understand that this God who created me and created the world is an absolute, perfect God. He's absolutely flawless, and he is a God who cannot change, so he can't change his word. Let me give you an example. Out of my mouth comes words. They are based on me, who I am, and what type of person I am. Out of God comes his word. What type of word he says is based on who he is. And whenever God says something, it always has to be in line with his nature. Now, I want you to watch very carefully, because the very nature of God's being is that he's absolute. I want you to look very carefully. You know, God's goodness, think about it. Here is God who created us, and sometimes we wonder, God, can you change? He can't change. He's never going to change. His goodness is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever he said in this book has to be unchanging, because God is what? You got it. It has to be unchanging because God is unchanging. His laws have to be unchanging because God is unchanging. In other words, whatever God says out of his mouth has to be unchanging, because the nature of God is such that he can't change. Some people say, well, you know, I know God wants to bless that person, but he won't bless me. I'm sorry, that's just not the way it works. God says, if you do this, you're going to be blessed. Let me give you an example. Try to give you an example if you're half asleep to wake you up a minute. Let's suppose I decided I didn't want to believe in the law of gravity. I said to myself, you know what, folks? From the front pew to right here, I've just decided I don't like the law of gravity. I don't believe in the law of gravity, and I'm not going to... I just think that if I walk straight off of here that I won't fall. I said, I believe that. You knew that I'd prepared for that. Some of you look very serious. Now, wait just a minute. I don't believe in the law of gravity. I don't like the law of gravity, and I don't think it will work. I said, I don't believe in the law of gravity. I don't like the law of gravity, and I don't think it will work. I'm not going to do it again. It hurts my feet. But do you get the picture? How many times is the law of gravity going to work on a 100% scale, 98% or 100%? 100%. Why? Because it comes from an absolute God who cannot change. And here's what God is saying to you. I want you to understand that this word is not opinions. This word is not suggestions. In this word are absolutes. And one of the things that needs to happen in your life and my life, we need to come to a refreshed understanding that this is an absolute book from an absolute God, and it will absolutely always be unchanging. That's simply the way it is. And you see, you look in the Bible and you say, well, you know what, that was penned. Yeah, it may have been penned 1,000 years ago. That's just when it was penned. And just think about God in creation for a moment. You know, when you examine the opening pages of Genesis, and I'm not going to go through that, but here's what God did. Absolutely everything he said would happen, happened. The Bible says, let there be light. The Bible says there was light, nothing more, nothing less. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in verse 3 of Genesis 1, let there be light, and there was light. Now, here's the point. Here's what I want you to understand. If you don't develop absolutes in your heart, if you just believe this book, you can read it, you can take it or leave it, then you are in for a messed up life. This book is absolute because it comes from a God who is and will always, by his nature, be unchanging. It's not that he wants to not change. It's the fact that by his being, he is an unchanging, eternal, everlasting, holy, almighty, omnipotent God. And you know what? When you get into this book and you read, you know, if you do this, if you do A, B will happen. It happens today in 2013, just like it happened in the year 1013. Why? Because God is unchanging. And you see, here's what he says. You know, you get into this book and you start reading it and you start practicing it. Let me give you an example, one verse of scripture. Give and it'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. Now, that is written by an absolute God, an absolute unchanging God. Can that verse change? You tell me, yes or no. Can the principles in that verse change? Yes or no. It cannot change. Now, use a little bit soft on your nose, but you know it can't change. And here's what David found out. Here's what Isaiah found out. Here's what anybody who lives a blessed life, they find out. All I've got to do is practice and allow the Lord to engulf me and guide me and believing and walking in his absolutes. You see, here's the thing about it. If I believe the law of gravity is going to always work, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take the steps. You follow me? Some of you do. Now listen to me real carefully. God can't change toward you or me. Violates his nature. And so here's what God says. I want you to understand that I am the same God toward you, but if you believe that you can take God's word or leave it, you can take God's laws or leave them, you can take God's commands or leave them, you know, that's why people aren't blessed. I don't know how many times through the years I've heard people say something like this. Well, I know what the Bible says. I know what that verse says, but here's what I believe. Really? That's why you set yourself up for a downfall. But you look in creation, you can see that God is absolute in his word. You can look in the Ten Commandments. Now, I'm not going to go through the Ten Commandments, but I just want to point out something. When you read the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 20, 296 words. Basically encompasses the Ten Commandments. But notice something about them. They're concise. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take unto thee any graven image. And on and on and on I could go. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. You see, here's what we forget. Do you think God is going to honor his word always? You better believe it. Do you think that God is going to honor my life as I honor his word? You can bank on it. What if I told my wife, said, honey, I love you, but I just don't like your words. Try that. No, don't you try that. You see, here's what I want you to hear. Are you listening? I'm looking to see if you're listening. The closest thing to my being is what? My word. The closest thing to me is my word. And whenever God gives his word, it's in written form. And so here's what I do. If I realize that it is an absolute, it will not change. It cannot change because he is an unchanging God. Here's what I do. I practice it. It always works. It always works for all time, for all people, whoever will put it into practice. For example, if I give, it will come back to me. Whatever I give away, you say, Pastor, are you saying if I give away money that it'll come back to me? Yes. You say, how can you be so sure? Because God can't change. Whatever you give away is going to come back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Because he is an eternal, unchanging, absolute, holy God. Amen? So here's what I do. When I get into the reading of his word, he gives me a verse of scripture, and he guides me in something. Maybe it's just a directive. You know, if you'll do this, like you told Joshua, if you'll meditate on the word of God day and night, do whatever he tells you to do, then here's what will happen. Two things will be happening in your life. You'll be prosperous and you'll be successful. Why? Because that's what God says. And you see, here's the thing about it. So many people want a life of abundance and want a life of blessing, but they don't want this book. Well, you know, I've been reading this guy on how to be wealthy in 30 days. And by the way, there's a million of those sold in January. How to be wealthy in 30 days. You know, how to cause your in-laws to love you. You know, how to cause your, you know, all sorts of those things. But here's the principle. Here's what God, listen, Isaiah says it very clearly. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And so what that means is this. When I refuse to believe the absolutes of the word of God, what direction do I start going? Down I go. And that's why so many people are going down. They don't believe God's word is absolute. They don't believe God's word is pure and true and absolutely true in everything it says. Don't believe that it says, you know, well, you know, that verse is hard on me. I just don't like that verse. Well, you know, God reveals himself in creation. He reveals himself in the Ten Commandments, but he also reveals himself in the laws that you and I, in the world. Think about a minute. When was the last time the law of gravity didn't work that you can remember? 24/7, 365, for as long as you can remember. It is an absolute law that you will not break. You can break yourself over it, or like myself, you can almost break your foot over it. But here's the point. Whenever God sets laws down, they're absolute. And here's what God says. I want you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy a minute. It's one passage over in the Old Testament. You probably turn to it many times as I've asked you. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. And you see, we want blessings, but we want them our way, under our terms, under our conditions. Can I say this? That's why some of your life's in hell on earth. Now, I wouldn't hurt your feelings for anything, but I am going to tell you the truth. Some of you are in debt over your head because you won't listen to what God's word says about debt. You say, I don't make anything. Take away all the debt you owe and see what type of money you make. Man, if I didn't have any debt, I'd do real good. You know, the Bible says it's the Lord who gives you the power to get wealth. The Lord giveth and the world taketh away. Amen? That's exactly what they say. And you see, listen to what God said in Deuteronomy. You can personalize it. You can put your name there. I can put, Dear Benny, it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God and do all his commandments, which the Lord, I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, while that was a specific command to the children of Israel, here's the reality. It's a reminder of the absolute nature of God. God loves you. He's not out to hurt you. And it's so sad that you hear some preachers talking about, well, God's going to get you for that. No, God's not out to get you. Now, let me ask you a question. How can somebody who gave his son's blood to die on the cross for your sins and my sins be out to get us? He's out to bless us, but here's what we do. We sabotage our lives. Here's what we do. We sabotage our lives because we don't get in the Word of God. I don't know what percentage of us are in the Word of God on a regular basis, but I don't know if it's 50%. You see, if I ask you, I said, now, be man enough or woman enough to be honest with God and yourself, right? And you don't have to do that, but I'm not going to ask you to. But if I ask you to raise your hand and say, I read some of the Bible as much at least every day or every other day. We read what we choose to read. And here's what we do. We choose not to read it, and then we blame God while we're in a mess. We blame God while we're in a hell on earth. We blame God while our marriages are failing. We blame God because of so many things. And here's what God says. It will come to pass. You see, he's an unchanging God. He can't change from one generation, one century to another. He's precisely the same today and the same age today as he was in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. You say, how can that be? Because time means nothing to God. He is not monitored by time. Time has no bearing on him. And you see, what you and I need to get back to is this. Sometimes people call it old-fashioned. I call it being biblical. What was wrong according to God 1,000 years ago is wrong today in 2013, right this very minute. Amen? And you see, here's what happens. Somebody comes up to you and they're involved in some type of promiscuity and they want to get your endorsement on it. They don't want to hear you say it's wrong. But let me ask you a question. Whose feelings would you rather hurt, your family's or your father's? We'll hurt everybody. We'll not hurt anybody else's feeling, but we'll hurt our father's feeling. You know what being a bold, being an honest, being a man or one of integrity is all about? Saying there are absolutes because they stem from an absolute holy God, and that's where I stand. That's where I'm going to always stand because that's where God is. Don't do it in hate. Don't do it in harshness. Don't do it in hostility, but do it in loving kindness because that's the only life that is blessed. Joseph, in the book of Genesis, chapter 37 through 50, he was seduced by a woman. She asked him to come to bed with him. And he said, I can't do such a sinful thing because if I do that, God is watching. God is looking at my life. Now, are we going to always be human beings and live in our humanity? Yes, we are. But we can choose to have a heart that believes absolutes. Now, I want to ask you a question. Don't you answer this out loud. Are you rock solid on your belief system? Are you rock solid on your beliefs based on the Word of God? Somebody comes up to you and it may hurt your feelings, or they say, well, you don't love me if you stand that way. Listen to me real carefully. God's Word will never change. Amen. He said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You know what that means? It's not culturally oriented. It don't change with culture, changing times, people who change their ideas and their notions. And so if I'm going to have a life that is blessed, I have to be serious about what I really believe. And you have to be serious. You have to be serious about what you believe, whether, you know, you have some absolute belief. Well, you know, government's got enough money. It's all right for me to cheat on my taxes. Thou shalt not what? Steal. It doesn't matter if it's 10 cents. Doesn't matter if it's $10,000. God, and you see what happens is this. You feel good about yourself when you say, you know what? Nobody saw that or knew that. But integrity is who you are when nobody's watching. But the truth about it is there's somebody always watching you, and that's the Lord God. You put a different figure down here on your taxes, or this is, you know, you claim 500 when you should have just claimed 100, you're stealing. Now, let me ask you a question. If I was over my daughter, and let's say she was in school, I'm putting her back years ago, though she's grown and has a little one herself, but I was watching her, and she looked around. She didn't know I was standing over her, and she was dishonest on the test. Maybe she wrote the answers on her hand. And do you think I would be pleased with her? No. I couldn't be pleased with her because of dishonesty. Now listen to me real carefully. Some of us just, you know, I've been crying to God to bless me. You know what you need to do? I want to say this, and this is going to hurt some of your feelings. But I'll hurt your feelings to help your life. You're going to need to develop some absolutes if you're going to ever experience the blessings of God. Amen? There is absolute right. There is absolute wrong. Listen, how do you know what to confess in sin if there's not absolute right and wrong? You know, well, what if this is right today? God can't change. And that's what he wants you and me to understand. When I develop a heart, says, God, I know that you hate that. It doesn't matter if it's a small thing or a big thing. You have a heart for absolutes. And if my heart is to be pleasing to you, I have a heart for absolutes. I have a heart that hates sin. I confess my sin. I deal with my sin. I have a heart that wants to walk with you. I have a heart that is grieved when I sin. And I confess it even when nobody else knows. And you see, that's the reality. Because are there times you sin and nobody sees? Don't you answer that. Times you sin and, oh, thank God nobody saw, right? But you know what a man or a woman of integrity will do? Lord, I know nobody saw me, but I just sinned against you. What I did, what I said, what I saw, what was, and you see, the thing about it is you just feel so good on the inside when you do that. You're not doing it for the praise of anybody else. You're doing it to please your Father. And listen, He loves to be good to His children. You know, the Bible says, turn over to Matthew chapter 7 a minute. Matthew chapter 7. And I want you to look at one particular verse. In Matthew chapter 7, listen to what He says. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven, what's the next word? Give good things. That's right. To them that ask Him. But you see, if I don't have a heart that believes in absolutes, if I don't have a heart that believes the way God says, you see, here's what happens. A lot of times we don't want to believe it because maybe we're involved in it. Maybe we're doing something underhanded or shady. Listen, I'm here to tell you, there is a God in heaven who loves you and He wants to bless you more than you could imagine, dream, think, or even ask. But here's what has to happen in your life. There has to be a desire. You see, Joseph in Genesis, he could have gone to bed with, you know, Potiphar's wife. He could have had sex with her and maybe nobody was right there that would have known. But here's what Joseph said. How can I do this thing? In other words, Joseph knew God was watching. And he knew under any circumstance it was wrong. And you see, here's the reality. The blessed life, look at number 3 real quickly. Absolutes are essential for blessings. Because here's what God says in Deuteronomy 20. I will bless you if you what? Obey. I can't obey God without it being some absolute beliefs in my life. Now, are there times we sin? Does everybody go the speed limit on the interstate? Don't answer that question. We're all human. We live in this flawed body. We confess our sins. But listen, that's exactly what you need to do. We need to confess. We need to live in confession because we fail and we fall. But, you know, here's what God said to Moses. I want you to listen. In Deuteronomy 11, 26, I set before you this day blessings and cursings. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord. In other words, God said through Moses, said, I want you to tell the children, I've got blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And by the way, do you want to know the definition of the word blessing in the original Hebrew language? The definition of the word literally means, I have supernatural favor over your life, but supernatural favor only comes if you walk in obedience. Supernatural favor only comes, sir, when it's a big deal for you to obey what you have been led of Scripture. You see, here's the thing about it. I can talk to somebody about their finances and they're saying, would you pray for me? I'm really having a financial struggle. And they know, this isn't a message about that, but I'll ask them a question or two and I'll say, let me just ask you one question. Do you know the Bible teaches tithing? And if they say no, then I try to help them and I try to help them understand. And then if they say, well, yes, I do know it. I said, do you do it? And here's what they start doing. Backpedaling. And I asked him, I said, you know God wants to bless you, right? Yes, He does. Why don't He? Let me ask you a question. Can you bless your children if you give them a directive and they deliberately, intentionally violate it? God can't change, folks. God will never change. And it's not that I do something to get God to bless me. It's that I get in line with this God who created me. You see, when I obey God with my finances, I'm just here to tell you, you don't have to worry about finances. Somebody the other day was telling me about giving some certain portion of money. They said, do you know I got 10 times back in a card that same day? Because God is absolutely unchanging. And you see, here's the reality. If I am going to have His blessing, walk in His blessing, then here's what I need to do. I need to be mindful. He is big on obedience. Samuel said it best. If you had a house that you could dedicate to the Lord, if you had two, three, or four, or five vehicles, you say, you know what, I'd like to give those to the church. Do you realize that they are pale in comparison to your personal obedience? And here's how the way Samuel put it. To obey is better than sacrifice. Do you hear that? My obedience to the living God. And I want to tell you why some of you haven't been blessed for a long time. Because some of you haven't obeyed for a long time. For example, you forsake the assembling of yourself together in the house of God. In other words, you'll be back next Sunday, but you won't be here tonight or Wednesday. And you want the blessings of God. You want the blessings of God, but you don't want to follow Him and do what He says. I just have to tell you, I'm sorry it'll never come. You'll live until you die, and you'll miss out on the wonder of His blessings because He can't change. Every life that does what He says has to be blessed because He is an unchanging God. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but I love you enough that I want to tell you the truth. And you see, the thing about it is it don't matter how bad a sinner you are, if you invite Jesus Christ into your life, He'll save you all the time, anytime, if you're serious. Amen? For whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be, say that last word with me, saved. Probably when some of us got saved, we may have said, I don't deserve. I've not done anything good. I have a family member that just the other day walked out of this life to be with the Lord. He had lived a lot of years not giving his life to God. And in the last few hours, he repented and he said, I've not given God my life. But you see, we don't ever serve a changing God. He can't change, friend. You can do what you want to with your life. That is your choice. Nobody can tell you what to do with your life. That's your choice. But here's the reality. The blessings of God come to that person who walks in the obedience of God. And if you're wondering why it's missing, all you have to do is just look in the mirror. And He'll tell you. Now listen, He's not being hard on you. He's not saying, you are the worst person. No, He can't do that. He loves you. But here's what He said. You're missing life. You're missing abundance. You're missing blessing. Ask yourself this question. Do you want a better life than what you're living in? Or have you settled for where you are? Father, we thank You so much for Your Word, for Your truth, for just the wonder of Your Word. And Father, I pray this morning for those who are here without Christ, that don't have a relationship with God, that don't know what it is to be saved, that don't know what it is to have their sins forgiven, and they're living today, and to hear the words heaven or hell, they know that their residence is going to be hell if they left this world today. Father, draw them to You. Draw them now is my prayer. Draw them is my request, that they can know what it is to know that their sins, all of their sins are forgiven and removed forever. And Father, that person who may need to come and repent, they know what it is, and only they know what it is, and no one else needs to know. They just need to come and use this altar. Maybe there's a person who's, they just believe that the Bible says this or that. and they're not allowing themselves to walk in your ways. Maybe someone needs to come and pray for a friend or a family member. Have your will in this invitation. In Jesus I pray. Amen.